Today we have a very special guest. Very special guest. I have been praying that he would come and join us for many years. Vishnu Gada Prabhu. Back in the early and mid-70s, the most powerful temple of preaching in the whole Western world was New York City. He was head cook in the kitchen, nourishing the book distributors, nourishing the Harinam parties, nourishing the pujaris, nourishing the entire temple with the most wonderful prasad, cooked with such pure devotion offered to Radha Govindaji. And he has a PhD in psychology from American University. He's serving as a psychologist, and he has helped so many devotees' lives. Because not only does he have the clinical training of a bona fide psychologist by academic standards, but he is very thoroughly learned in Srila Prabhupada's books as a preacher. And the combination of these two principles has a very powerful effect of transforming people's hearts to take shelter of the chanting of the holy name. Vishnu Gada Prabhu is very much loved by devotees all over the world for his humility, his gravity, and his very, very serious dedication to service of the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada and the Vaishnavas. Let us very enthusiastically welcome him to our yatra. So as soon as breakfast is finished, either you're out distributing books, or you're out in the streets chanting, or you're cleaning, or you're doing pujari work, and you're just working and working, doing so many wonderful services to spread Krishna consciousness. Until you come back to the temple at night, take a little prasad, and go right to sleep. And there wasn't even hardly enough time to even dream. Only allowed a few hours sleep. Why did Prabhupada do this to these Western devotees? Because he knew they had so many bad habits. Sakat Sasura was so much prominent within their hearts. So just keep busy, just stay engaged in Krishna's service, hearing about Krishna, chanting the names of Krishna, serving Krishna and his devotees. Because the name is none different than Krishna. The katha is none different than Krishna. Devotional service is none different than Krishna. We must take shelter of Krishna through these processes. And then Krishna will kill all of these bad habits, these anartas within our hearts. Cheto darpana marjanam vama. Mahaprabhu explained. We must cleanse the mirror of our mind of all of these conditioned habits. Kill that sakatasura within the heart by loudly crying out for the mercy of Krishna through his heart. One year after Krishna's appearance, there was a wonderful festival in the heart of Nanda and Yashoda. Here at Mahabhan. Yashoda Mai was patting Krishna on her lap. Suddenly, Krishna became as heavy as the universe. It was such an inconvenience. At one moment, he was light as a piece of grass, just sitting on the lap of his mother. All of a sudden, it was inconceivable. He became so unbearably heavy. The reason is this. Krishna knew that Trinavarta was coming. And he did not want Yashoda Mai to be inconvenienced by this situation. So he assumed this heavy weight just so that he could be left alone to kill this demon. So Yashoda Mai placed Krishna down and began to remember Lord Narayan. She was thinking, maybe some sort of ghost has entered into the body of my child to make him so heavy. At that time, when Krishna was laying alone on the ground, Trinakarta entered into Gokul. He was sent by Kamsa. The entire land was covered with dust. He was in the form of a whirlwind. He was vibrating hideous, fearful sounds. Nobody could hear anything except the screaming sound of this massive wind. There was so much dust. The wind was so demoniac that the entire Gokul was cast in dense darkness. Everyone was in utter fear. And Yashoda Mai's fear is, where is Krishna? She couldn't see anything. She couldn't find him anywhere. She was just blinded, just running from place to place, trying to find Krishna, searching here and there and everywhere. Meanwhile, Trinavarta picked up Krishna, who just before was heavy as a mountain to Yashoda, became lighter than one blade of grass. Ah, Trinavarta picked him up and went higher and higher and higher and higher and higher into the sky. Then all the dust and darkness settled, and the Vrijavasis again could see. They could see everything except Krishna. Yashoda Mai was running in all directions searching for Krishna. She began to cry and fell down unconscious like a cow that has lost her calf. All the gopis were crying and crying and crying. Srila Prabhupada explains that this type of attachment is the most wonderful benediction. When a mother cries for a child, it is considered to be a material, natural attachment. But because the child is Krishna, it is the perfection of life. In fact, Krishna would perform these wonderful pastimes where his life was in danger for two reasons. One, to kill the demons, but that was external. The internal demon, the internal reason, is when Krishna is in these fearful conditions, it increases unlimitedly the attachment of his devotees for him. The devotees are happy when they are with Krishna, and they are unhappy without Krishna. Then they could see their beloved
life and soul, Krishna, as a small little one-year-old child going higher and higher and higher and higher in the sky
in this demoniac whirlwind's arms.
Then Lord Gopal, who is the master of all yogic siddhis, Yogeshwar, he assumed the weight of a huge mountain. Trinavarta was not able to hold him any longer. He was becoming fatigued. He couldn't tolerate it. He tried to push Krishna off. But little Gopal put his arm around Trinavarta's neck and squeezed him. Trinavarta was choking to death. He was doing everything to get Krishna off, but Krishna just kept squeezing that neck. Meanwhile, Krishna was having a very, very joyous time. He was getting a free ride high in the sky. Children like roller coaster rides. I remember one of my godbrothers, he had a little baby, and he used to throw her in the air, and she'd go, ah, she would be so happy thrown in the air, knowing that he was, because he would always catch her. In fact, this godbrother, you may have cooked with him. You know, remember Sudhanu? He had a little daughter named Lakshmi. And I never saw anything like this. During Mangal Arati, she was just a little baby, just hardly learning to walk. And he would hold her feet in one hand, and she'd be standing up, and he'd put it over his head. And she would just be smiling and smiling because she had complete faith that my father will not let me fall. Huh? So children, they like to go on rides. And the original ride is Krishna riding on Trinavarta. But that little helpless Gopal, as he squeezed Trinavarta's neck, he squeezed the very life from him. Trinavarta, he couldn't move. His eyes popped out of their sockets. He lost his life and fell to the ground. Massive crashing sound as he fell. He fell right on a slab of stone, and all of his limbs were dislocated. The gopis were crying. They picked up Krishna from the chest of Trinavarta. Krishna was happily playing on his chest. And they brought him back and placed him in the arms of Yashodamai. They were shocked. This massive Rakshasa, he must have come to eat child Krishna. And yet Krishna has no injury whatsoever. They discussed with one another, how is this possible? And ultimately they came to the conclusion. Because Gopal is so perfectly innocent, the Supreme Personality of Godhead protected him. Srila Prabhupada explains in this regard that Krishna consciousness means to be very innocent in our devotional life. What is that innocence? The consciousness that our only business is to be Krishna conscious. And if we are Krishna conscious, we can completely depend that Krishna will always protect us. That is innocence. Simple faith. Just like that little girl of my godbrother, she just, every time I saw him doing this with his little baby, I was thinking, she's going to fall. But she's just smiling and laughing because she had complete faith in her father's protection. With that same simple innocence, the residents of Vrindavan had complete faith in Krishna. And by associating with devotees and purifying our hearts, we must also really, really aspire to have this opulence. Having wealth, having power, having position, ultimately it's all a burden on our heart. It brings no happiness. It burns our hearts. But real happiness comes when we have this simple, innocent faith that Krishna will protect me. We can completely depend on Krishna. If we simply remember him as his devotee, in life or in death, he will always be with me. Nanda Maharaj was thinking that we must have performed many pious deeds and worshiped the Supreme Personality of Godhead by building roads and planting banyan trees and digging wells. And the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so pleased by our efforts, has saved Krishna. And then he remembered Vasudeva's words that you should be very careful to protect your child from dangers. Brahma Vaivarta Purana explains that Trinavarta was previously a king of the name Sahasraka, who was cursed by Durvas Muni for appearing naked before him while enjoying 1,000 wives. He cursed him to live on the earth for 100,000 years. When this king fell at the feet of Durvas Muni and begged forgiveness, he said, "The benediction will be that Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, will take your life and you will attain salvation." Trinavarta represents false pride for material scholarship, which often gives rise to bogus philosophies. Now, this is very important in this assembly of devotees, because I know many of you are in colleges. Some of you are very learned in scholarship. We have graduates of IIT, so many. Such a prestigious university. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he described material scholarship as just the burden of a beast. And materialistic scholars are like foolish asses, just carrying this massive burden of mundane knowledge on their backs. And he wrote, however, anything used in Krishna's service becomes glorious. Just like an example. Do we have time to continue speaking? Tell me when to stop and I'm your servant. It is said in scriptures that one in the renounced order of life sees gold as yellow stool. Now, do you know what is yellow stool? When you have jaundice, your stool becomes yellow. That means diseased stool. Not fresh, healthy, brown stool, but diseased, yellow stool. It's abominable. It's abominable amongst abominable things. This is the way a person in the renounced order of life sees gold. So in these Indian weddings where all these ladies have so much gold on, trying to attract people with their gold necklaces and gold earrings and gold bracelets and gold whatever else. You may do as you like, but you should know what we're thinking. His body is just covered with diseased stool. So somebody asked Prabhupada, then why are we offering gold to the deities? Why do we want to put yellow stool in the deities? Prabhupada said, when it's offered to the deities, it's gold. When it's used for personal sense gratification, then it's yellow stool. We see in Tirupati, the whole dome of the temple of Tirupati is made of gold. In fact, in Udupi, one Palimar Matswami, he made gold chariot, gold-plated chariot, to be pulled through the streets of Udupi for Lord Krishna. In a diamond crown that cost over a crore of rupees, this big. So somebody criticized him. He said, why are you spending a crore of rupees for a gold chariot for the Lord? And a diamond crown for the Lord, another crore of rupees? Why don't you use that to feed the poor? Why don't you use that to open schools? Why don't you use that to open hospitals? Why don't you use that for something good? Why does Krishna need all these things? So much expense. And he had a good argument. Would you like to hear? He said, the President of America, the Prime Minister of UK, the Premier of Russia, the Prime Minister of India, how much does the nation spend on them every day? For security. It's like a few years ago, President Carter came to India. They reassembled the whole Bombay. Huh? Do you remember the road he was going to drive by to get his hotel, which was from the airport, many miles? They painted the buildings. They had thousands of soldiers, all kinds of security and secret agents. They probably spent 10 or 20 crores of rupees a day just to facilitate him. When a prime minister goes to any place, they spend fortunes a day just in security. Yes? So this is just the prime minister of one little tiny country, in one little tiny planet Earth, in one little tiny universe, in this tiny little cosmic manifestation, so much money, and nobody complains. And Krishna is the supreme king, ultimate controller and leader of all spiritual and material worlds. To spend one crore of rupees for him once or twice a year is nothing. There's no limit what we can offer to Krishna, because he's the proprietor and natural enjoyer of everything that exists. So yes, Sukadeva Goswami says, if you have a beautiful diamond jewel studded crown on your head, it will just cause you to sink faster in the ocean of material existence. It's nothing but a burden. Although everyone's saying, oh, you have such a nice crown. Yes, yes, you're going down. It's a fact. But if it's used in the service of Krishna, it becomes a great opulence. And the same takes place with all opulences, including knowledge. Scholarship is one of the greatest impediments in spiritual life. Queen Kunti prayed that the four greatest disqualifications for one who wants to feelingly call out the name of Krishna, his physical beauty, high birth. Education. High education. And what else? And wealth. Everybody wants this. Women sometimes spend a large part of their lives just trying to make their bodies beautiful. Very, very much association with mirror. Putting creams and cosmetics and drawing different pictures on your different parts. Perfumes, just to be beautiful. And men do the same thing. Just like a juhu, you can hear. You heard this? Even during class, in Prabhupada, in some of his classes. You heard that? Because next door there's people lifting weights. Lifting weights and doing these karate things just so that they have beautiful bodies. They want beautiful bodies to attract others. It's an opulence. Beauty. How much time people spend trying to get wealth. How much people are very proud of being from a high birth, a Brahmin. Srila Prabhupada would say, you can, for 5 paisa, you can get a sacred thread. A real Brahmin is one who's humble and truthful. One who's actually servant of society. A perfect Brahmin is Vaishnava. And education. How much people sacrifice so much of their time and energy to become learned. Scholarship. At the time of Lord Chaitanya, that was considered the highest opulence, to be a scholar. Therefore, Nimai Pandit became the greatest of all scholars and then rejected it all. Just to show them what it's all worth. He rejected it all to become a devotee. So Trinabharata represents the pride, false pride of material scholarship. Because material scholarship gives this euphoric intoxication that you're becoming higher and higher and higher, just like Trinabharata, just going higher and higher and higher. You're beginning to know more than others. You're beginning to understand more things than others. And you're seen as being very high in the eyes of others. Trinadapi sunichena taror ivasihishnana amanina manadena kirtaniya sadhan. Without this qualification, you cannot feelingly cry out Krishna's names. This is opulence. If we can use our scholarship, our wealth, even our beauty and our birth, if we use it in a spirit of such humility in the service of the Lord, then it is a great thing. Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, they were adored for this principle. They were the greatest scholars. They were multi-millionaires living in Ramkeli. They were famous and powerful. They were young and beautiful like Kamadev. But they were so humble. Even the most ordinary person, they would come down from their seats and personally offer obeisances to them and serve them. To have material opulence and simultaneously be genuinely humble is real opulence. So do not be proud. Srila Prabhupada met Professor Katowski. He had several PhDs. But he didn't even understand what is the spirit soul. Prabhupada said the simple field workers in India have higher knowledge than the greatest PhDs of the West. Because they know that they're eternal soul. And they should behave properly because they're going to get the reactions in this life and the next. So we must understand this pride of scholarship is the manifestation of the demon Trimavarta, who is trying to kill Krishna within our heart, kill our propensity for devotional service. So we must act with humility, respect toward others, and beg Krishna, please kill this demon from within my heart as we chant the holy name. One day Yashoda Mai was feeding Lord Krishna the milk from her breast. Krishna yawned. And she happened to look inside of his mouth as he was yawning. She saw the entire sky, all the planets, all living beings. She saw the Virat Rupa, the universal form of the Lord, within his little tiny mouth. Yashoda Mai's heart was throbbing. And out of her spontaneous vatsalya ras, she was thinking that Gopal must have some kind of disease that I'm seeing these things in his mouth. And she closed her eyes because she did not like to see such opulences. Here where we're sitting, Garga Muni came. He was sent by Vasudev to perform the name-giving ceremony for Krishna Balaram. He was greeted by Nanda Maharaj, who with folded hands exemplified what is the mood of a proper grihastha. He said that we grihasthas are very fallen people. We are so much entangled in all sorts of family and occupational matters. But Brahmins and those in the renounced order of life, it appears you come to our homes for begging, but actually you come just to give us your association, to enlighten us and awaken us to our real duties on the spiritual path. You are an expert astrologer, and you are a first-class Brahmin. Will you perform the reformatory rites for our children? Garga Muni told Nanda Maharaj that because I am the priest of Yadu dynasty, if I perform these reformatory rites, then Kamsa may be suspicious and come to harass your children. But Nanda Maharaj considered that receiving the blessings of a saintly person upon his children was so important. He appealed to Garga Muni, we will do it secretly. No one will know except the immediate family. We will perform it in the Goshala, the cowshed. So they came to this cowshed. Garga Muni said that the child of Rohini will give happiness to everyone. Therefore, his name will be Rama. He will have extraordinary strength. His name will be Bala. And because he will take great pleasure in exhibiting his great strength, he will be named Balaram. because he has united two families of the Brishnis and the Yadus, his name will be Shankarshan. And as far as this other child, Krishna, he incarnates within this world in every millennium. Previously, he appeared with a white complexion in Sati Yuga. In Treta Yuga, in a red complexion. Sometimes he appears in a yellowish, golden complexion. And now he has appeared in this beautiful, dark, blackish complexion. Our Acharyas accept this as confirmation of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who appears in the age of Kali in a beautiful golden complexion. This is predicted by Garga Muni in Srimad Bhagavatam. Previously, he was the son of Vasudev, so his name will be Vasudev. He has many forms and many names according to his qualities and pastimes. He has come to increase the bliss of all of Braj Gokul. By his grace, you will all surpass all difficulties. He comes to this world to vanquish the demons. He is as good as Lord Narayan himself. Please raise him very cautiously. After a short time, Krishna Balaram began to crawl on their hands and knees. It was a beautiful sight. Sukadev Goswami explains that they were like little serpents crawling around in the mud of Brajbhumi. Sometimes they would hear the ankle bells of a gopi, and they would just slide and slide and slide, thinking that it was their mother, Yashoda and Rohini. But when they saw there was another gopi's ankle bells, they would become very much frightened and start slithering away in the other direction, as everyone would laugh. Their only clothes was the muddy earth mixed with the cow dung and urine of Sri Vrindavan. It was a very beautiful sight. Mothers would embrace them, and sometimes as they'd be embracing them, when they would be about to feed them milk, they'd look in their mouth and see little tiny teeth beginning to grow. How that brought ecstasy to their hearts, and they smiled. It was one of the favorite pastimes of Rohini and Yashoda to count the teeth growing in the small baby mouths of Krishna and Balaram. Krishna Balaramji would sometimes grab on to the tails of the calves, and the calves would become very much afraid, and they would hold on and drag them through the urine, the dung, and the mud of Sri Gokul. And all of the gopis would come to see the fun, laughing and smiling. Did I have that other book? Then Krishna and Balaram began to walk. This was a very beautiful sight. Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda would help them to walk, and they'd grab onto the hands of Nanda and Yashoda, just as if they were completely depending on their mother and father so that they don't fall down Nanda and Yashoda experienced the love that Krishna and Balaram, Rohini, are completely depending upon us. What is that beautiful sloka that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would like to hear? I do not worship Mahabharata. What is that? Upanishads, Vedas, great sages. I worship Nanda Maharaj, in whose courtyard in Gokul, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is crawling around like his own helpless son. When they learned to walk, they became very mischievous. That is when the pastime of stealing butter began. Makan Chor. Shall we discuss? Little child Krishna, just walking. Starting to utilize his legs. Such an adventure. One time in Yashoda Mai's house, Krishna secretly went to the butter pot and began stealing and eating the butter. And he saw there was a jewel pillar. In the jewel pillar was his reflection. He became very fearful. He spoke to the reflection. He thought, I'm caught. He said, my dear friend, please don't tell my mother what you have seen. If you don't tell her, I promise you, I will give you some of the butter also. Meanwhile, Mother Yashoda was in a hidden place watching this whole thing. Her heart was ecstatic to see Krishna in such innocent. And then she approached Krishna. And as soon as she approached, little Gopal said, I didn't do it, I didn't steal the butter, I didn't do it. You know who did it? He did it! And he pointed toward the reflection in the jewel pillar. He said, honest! I'm telling you the truth, mother. He came into the house. And I saw he was going to steal your butter. And I told him, don't steal the butter. This is my mother's butter. You cannot steal this butter. I warned him, you're going to get in big trouble if you steal this butter. You cannot steal this butter. But he started stealing it anyway. He broke the pot. And look, all this butter is all over the floor. But I tried to stop him, but he wouldn't listen. Another time Yashoda Mai was outside and she came inside and Krishna's hand was stuck right into a pot of butter. And little Krishna, he started to cry out, Mother, 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 my hand is burning, it's in pain due to burning because you put these ruby bracelets that are dazzling. And they're producing so much heat. They're causing my... I stuck my hand in this butter just to cool off my burning hand. And Yashoda Mai took his hand out. It was full of butter. And she began to kiss his hand. Said, I'm sorry. I will take off these ruby bangles and I will not put them on again. On the day of Diwali, one of the most glorious pastimes was enacted. Yashoda Mai, she was getting so many complaints about Krishna stealing butter. He would not only steal butter in Yashoda's house, he would go to all the Brijabasi's house to steal butter, along with his friends. They were small children. Sometimes gopis would come to complain to Mother Yashoda. Say, Yashoda Mai, do you know what your Gopal is doing, along with his friends? Every day he comes to steal our butter, our yogurt. He's so mischievous. He will untie the calves and bring them to the cows. And then the calves will drink all the milk of the cows, and then when our husbands come to milk the cows, there's nothing left. Other times, he comes into our houses and he'll crack open our butter pots and steal it. Sometimes we put it on ropes high up in the ceiling, and they will take boxes and grinding mortars, and they'll go on top, and if it's still so high, they'll get on each other's shoulders, and if it's still so high, they'll take a stick and poke it from the bottom, and all the butter will come out of the broken pot, and they will eat it, and then they will just, they'll eat to their heart's content, and when they're completely full, they'll start feeding it to the monkeys. And after the monkeys' bellies are completely full, they'll start throwing our butter all over the walls and the floor and say, "Here, this butter is so useless, even monkeys don't want to eat it." Sometimes we catch them. We said, "You're a thief, you're a butter thief." And Gopal will look at us and say, "No, you are a thief!" And then he will smile and run away. There you go. Other times we catch him, and he will fall at our feet and pray, "Please don't tell my mother. Please don't do anything. I promise I will never come back and do this again. Just let me go." Sometimes we hide our butter so nicely that if Krishna cannot find it, he will go to the cleanest part of our house and pass urine and stool on the floor. This is Krishna, supreme absolute truth, the origin of Narayan and Vaikuntha, the origin of Narasimha Dev, Ramchandra, Varahadev, the origin of Mahavishnu, Garbhodakshay Vishnu, and the Super Soul within everyone's heart, the supreme controller of all controllers, Ishvara Paramakrishna Satchidananda Vigraha, Anadira Dira Govinda Sarvakaranakarma, passing urine and stool on the gopis' floor. Because they hid their butter so nicely. How many times have you passed urine and stool in your life? Can you approximate? Does anyone care? Is anyone talking about it? Krishna passed urine and stool once over 5,000 years ago, and still all over the universal creation, people with tears of ecstasy in their eyes are remembering this pastime. Because whatever Krishna does, he is all attractive. And Yashoda Mai was hearing these complaints, the gopi said, "And look, Krishna right now, he's looking so innocent, like nothing we're saying is true. But you should know, even though he's so innocent, he's plotting to spill our butter today." So Yashoda Mai, she said, "Then I will keep him home." No, don't keep him home. Ultimately, the only reason the gopis milk their cows and prepare butter is with the hope that Krishna will accept their love and steal their butter. Mukund Chor. Actually, Krishna's not a thief. Sarva Loka Maheshwaram, he's the supreme proprietor of everything that exists. If you think anything is yours, you are a thief. Everything is property of Krishna. He's not stealing, but simply to give pleasure to the gopis. He's accepting their love in the form of the butter that they prepare for him. And if our hearts become as soft as butter through hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord and dedicating our lives in the service of the Vaishnavas, then Krishna will steal our heart. He is Mukund Chor Hari. That is the perfection that we are striving to achieve. So Yashoda Mai was thinking, why Gopal's going to all neighbors' houses to steal? Why isn't he satisfied with the butter in our house? So she made so many arrangements out of her love. There is a type of grass called Padmaganda. It is so sweet, so nutritious. It is the ultimate grass, and the cows love to eat it so much, and it creates the best quality milk. Yashoda Mai would personally grow that grass with her own hands. It's said that Nanda Maharaj had 900,000 cows. Of those, 108 were the best. Of those, 8 were the best. Yashoda Mai would take the best of all the cows that was nourished with the best of all the grasses. And that milk was called Padmaganda. It was ambrosial. It had such a sweet fragrance, like lotus flowers. She would take that Padmaganda and have it churned into butter for Krishna's satisfaction. In the month of Kartik, on the new moon day, early in the morning, Yashoda Mai sent her personal assistants to do other chores. She wanted to churn the butter herself, to offer all of her heart's love to Krishna. As she was churning the butter, she was singing beautiful songs about Krishna's pastimes. Srila Prabhupada explains in this way, this is the simple natural way of remembering Krishna, by singing songs about Krishna. You see here in Vrindavan, there are innumerable songs about Krishna. And people love to sing. The holy names of Krishna are none different than Krishna. Kirtan is so beautiful because people have such a natural attraction, such a spontaneous inclination for music and for song. It affects people in such a powerful way. If we look at history, how much music has affected individual and society's lives. So to sing the names and glories of the Lord is one of the most pleasing, natural, and effective ways of always remembering Krishna. So the Brijavasis, day and night, were always singing Krishna's glories. Whatever he would do, they would make songs about it and sing it with each other. So Yashoda Mai was singing about the beautiful pastimes of Krishna. the beauty of the form of Krishna with tears in her eyes. And as she was churning that butter with the rope, the churning sound of the rope was like a mridanga, and her bangles were like kartals. It was a full-scale kirtan. And her motherly affection was becoming so intense that milk started flowing from her breast. When milk flows from Mother Yashoda's breast, Krishna cannot withstand the attraction to accept that love. So although he was sound asleep, he woke up, hearing his holy names being chanted through the loving heart of Yashoda. He came running to her, pulled her saris, and looked at her and smiled. But she kept churning. So he actually, with one hand, he grabbed the churning rod and the rope and told her, no more churning. He didn't say it, but he indicated. He wanted to drink the milk from her breast. So Mother Yashoda sat down, placed Lord Krishna on her lap, embraced him with her arms, gazed in his beautiful, beautiful moon-like face, tears of affection flowing from her eyes. She was smiling. She fed him the milk of her breast. It is explained, as she was churning the butter, she was in such love, she was chanting with such feeling, that the malati flowers in her hair were thinking, she has such devotion to Krishna. We have no right to be in her hair, on her head. We should be falling down at her feet. So although it appeared from her motions that the flowers were falling, actually they were jumping off her hair to take shelter of her lotus feet. Then she offered her milk to Gopal. He was pleasingly drinking. At that time, the milk that she had cooking on the stove for Krishna's satisfaction, Padmaganda milk, began to boil over under the fire. Srila Jiva Goswami explains the psychology of milk. Vishnu Gada Prabhu is a psychologist, so he knows all of these things very nicely. In Vrindavan, everything and everyone is a pure sentient person. Nothing is dead. Everyone is working together to glorify Krishna, to give pleasure to Krishna. This is what Sankirtan means, when we all come together for the pleasure of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada explains that the basis of Sankirtan is when we come together to loudly chant the holy names. But actually, in any way, devotees are coming together to glorify Krishna. This is Sankirtan. Sankirtan is our life, our soul. Sankirtan is the eternal nature of Goloka Vrindavan. Everyone is harmonizing with each other for the pleasure and glory of Radha and Krishna. So the milk is thinking that my life is only for Krishna's pleasure. But Yashoda Mai, her love is supreme. What is the taste of Yashodamayi's milk in the mouth of Krishna? An inconceivable meditation. Every time milk flowed from Yashodamayi's mouth, Krishna wanted to drink it. Can you imagine the ambrosial sweet taste of that milk that was reserved exclusively only for Gopal? The all-attractive was conquered by the love that was manifested in her milk. And of all those with Vatsalya Rasa or parental affection, Yashodamayi is supreme. Thus, the sweet Padmaganda milk on stove was thinking, she has unlimited love. That means she will supply unlimited milk, because that milk is her love. And Krishna will never stop drinking her milk. So he'll never drink me. I'm insignificant. But the only reason I'm living is for Krishna to drink me. But he will never drink me. So there's no reason to live. I will commit suicide. I will enter into fire. And within this mind, the milk began to boil over, jumping in the fire. Yashodamayi saw. This is tadiya. This is the paraphernalia meant for the pleasure and the service of the Lord. It is sacred as the Lord himself. So she put Krishna down and ran to save that milk which was meant for Krishna's satisfaction. But Krishna wanted to teach Yashodamayi and the world that I should not be second priority to anything or anyone. This is very important. If we want to attract Krishna, Krishna must, in all times, in all places, in all circumstances, with all people, be the first priority of our life. Yeyatamam prapadyante, tis Krishna reciprocates according to how we approach him. If we put Krishna second or third, Krishna will not be attracted by our devotion. A devotee's only criteria of analyzing anything is how I am pleasing Krishna. Not how the world is seeing me, not how comfortable my body is. How I'm pleasing Krishna. Yasya prasada, bhagavat prasada, yasya prasada, nagati kutopi. We please Krishna by pleasing the spiritual master, by being the servant of the servant of the servant. Acharya means one who teaches by example. Lord Krishna installed Prabhupada as such a great acharya within this world to teach by his example. What was his priority?